Hello and welcome to the 31st and final Manx Footy pod of the season. Today I'm joined by, well, just you, Disco, isn't it, really?
No, I'm all you can get, really.
Well, that's it. It's our end of season special. It's Dave, it's me, and that's about it. So let's crack on with it. And now the end is near. Dave, stop crying.
That was beautiful, Andy.
It's very near, yeah. Very near to be precise. So what's so special about today's podcast to hear you cry?
Yeah. But what is special, Andy? Tell me.
I'll tell you. Thanks, Dave. It's we're going very hammy for the final podcast.
Definitely. We are. I guess we're pushing about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So, we've got some reaction from the winners at Tuesday evening's Football Writers Awards. Plus, if that wasn't enough for you, we've been getting you to tweet in your comments and moments of the season for the last couple of days. So, more on that later. Right, we're at Glencutchery Road on Tuesday, weren't we, Dave?
It was a nice sunny evening, and all the boys were out practising for MIFA.
Yes, ahead of Northern Cyprus. They were blessed almost with Northern Cypriot temperatures. It was quite warm up there, wasn't it? But that wasn't the main reason we were there. We just weren't there to see them put through their paces by Lee and Paul and that. We were there for the annual Football Writers Awards. As always, tremendously organised by Eric Clegg, wasn't it?
What a legend of a man.
Yes, the man that knows more stats about Manx football than we've had hot dinners, I would say.
That was absolutely true.
But the main winner on the night, if you could say that, was picking up the Gordon Clegg Memorial Trophy as Football Writers Player of the Year for an impressive fourth time. Was Geordie's attacking metronome, Chris Bass Jr. A worthy winner, I feel, Dave.
Yeah, you like to describe him as a talismanic wing wizard.
But, yes.
He's definitely a worthy winner. I mean, he's had a fantastic season. As you spoke to him afterwards, and it was his best return in terms of goals, I think.
Yeah,
it?
He says he's got 38 in all competitions, 27 in the league alone. Not bad for a winger. Of course, he was pushed up front at the start of the season when they were a little light on attacking options with Callum and Pecker out injured. But
yeah, I think Cal just wanted a bit of an extended holiday, to be honest.
Yeah, man. But he's had a good season in front of goal. But you forget the amount of his set piece delivery, you know, his assists. He's probably contributed at least half again as many goals as well.
Yeah, I mean, I know every goal's a big goal, but he always seems to chip in with the bigger goals, doesn't
yeah.
he? He's a man for the big occasion. And also, I spoke to him early on in the season, and he'd had a tough time last year with injuries and the like, and he's come back. And he said it himself in your excellent interview, he's put in the hard work this time, hasn't he? Like, he always does anyway, but he's put in even more. So.
I have to say, I enjoyed the chat with him. You can have a listen to this now. It's 10 minutes wonder. I'm going to put this forward for some form of podcast award, I think, because it is there's a lovely atmosphere, a little bit of wind as well, so it's something for everyone.
It's that atmosphere. I think it might get us shortlisted for the Celtic Moon Media Festival next year.
Oh, fingers crossed, Dave. Well, let's have a listen to that now. Chris, congratulations, Football Writers, Footballer of the Year. You must be delighted.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I'm delighted this year. I've had a decent season for someone that's 33. It's not so bad, is it?
Don't be saying that. You'll be right. We're both the same age now.
Well, I think I get wrote off every year now. You're a bit old, all the lads at training. You're getting old not long now for you. But no, I've had a good season. I started off well and I've managed to carry it on. I think I tailed off a little bit towards the end, but...
You know what they say, Chris, form is temporary, class is permanent, and I think you've shown that this year. 27 goals, that must be one of your best returns in front of
it. I think it definitely is my best return, especially league goals. Yeah, I think in total I got 38 overall, and that's definitely my best. And
wow.
I think we needed it early on in the start of the season, someone to score the goals, because we missed Callum and Pecker so much with them being injured, so... It was good for me and good for the team.
I was going to say that, you know, we look back to, you know, it seems ages ago, but back to the September time, and it was a bit of a difficult start. You had a few injuries to key players. And I remember when we had Callum in for the podcast and Wes about October, November time, and they were saying, yeah, it was a tough few months. We didn't expect to be that far ahead as we were at that point.
No, we look at it every pre-season. We always, when we get players training and things, we always look at the squad, and it's always quite a strong squad. Mm. But then you know you're going to get injuries during the year, but I think this year we had... so many so early on,
yeah.
And they seem to be injuries whereby they'll miss a couple of weeks, and then I remember Pecker and Callum both coming back and they trained for a week or two and got injured again,
yeah.
So they obviously weren't quite right,
yeah, yeah.
And those two especially haven't scored so many goals, yeah. Over the last few years, you need them in your side,
yeah, yeah.
But then obviously we missed James McStay as well for long periods, but thankfully this year we had the lads that 16-year-olds, when they turned 16, come in and play for us in the first team. They were superb, to be honest.
I was going to say, on the flip side of that, you know, you've had all these 16-year-olds, Adam Long, Johnny Quirk, Joe Quayle, who's a bit older than me, but they've all come in and done a really good job. You know, I can't remember the amount of them that have come in and scored on their debut, which must be unbelievable.
I think I remember it. We said this not so long ago. It was all bar one came in and scored on the debut, which is probably unheard of.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it was a case of, as soon as they turned 16, because of the injuries we had, there was always a slot available in the first team. So instead of putting them into the second team, it was straight into the first team, and it never looked out of place, not one of them. So they did well. And to be honest, in training with them lads coming through, not knowing that in the future they're going to try and push, look to push us out the side, it spurred us on in training, especially.
And I know it's been a pretty exceptional group with you, with the likes of Judge, you, Johnny, Callum, and the like. Can you see those kids becoming the new Judge, the new Bassey Junior, and all that? Were they the sort of the core that the rest of this squad is then formed around?
Without a doubt, definitely. I've seen them in training, and I've been down to watch them on a Sunday morning, some of their games in their, I think it's the under-16s league, and I've told a lot of people this, that it's the best team I've seen as a group, not just individually, but as a group, the best team I've seen on the island at that age.
Yeah.
And individually, there's certainly, obviously, Adam Long's already been taken by Wigan, a three-year contract. There's a couple of us looking to go to Myerscough College. I know, obviously, going an age group above that, we had Joe Quayle coming from Union Mills, who's had a brilliant season for us. He was unheard of, to be honest, because not many of us knew him, but he's come in and he comes straight into the first team, done a great job, and he's looking to go to America. So it just shows you the quality that they have.
Yeah.
And I think if they stay together, if they don't lose too many, to, you know, obviously going overseas and things, if you don't lose too many, they're definitely going to be a team to look out for, and something that St George can look to for the next, I don't know, maybe 10 years again.
Well, that's scary news for everyone else, isn't it? Now, you know, this is the third Grand Slam we talk about. It. How does it rank among them? Has it been one of the toughest ones? Is it one that you're probably going to remember the most, or is it, you know?
I don't know. It's a strange one this year. Like you referred to before, with Callum saying he didn't think we'd be so far ahead, and I don't think we started particularly well in the season, and I don't think we certainly haven't played as well as we can do. And I know in a couple of the cup finals, especially the Peel games, where I think we were fortunate in the FA Cup game, although we deserved to win in the end. I think to get to extra time, I think we're fortunate. We didn't play particularly well, and in the final on Sunday, the Hospital Cup, we didn't play well. So there's been games where we've just about scraped through, just on sheer determination and the fact of knowing how to win a game, and we know how to win trophies, and I think that's what's helped us this year more than anything. And to say it's obviously the best one, because it makes the history of being the third Grand Slam, and no club has ever done that before. But in terms of performances, I would say no, we've been quite a way off this year.
And what about you personally? How is it ranked in your season? Just, you know, we've touched on the phenomenal goal output you produced, not just in goals but in assists as well. You know, is it one of your best seasons?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's like I said to you before, it was I didn't really expect it to be honest. But yeah, it's been a good season for me all round.
Yeah.
But I knew I had to try and push myself early on in the season, especially during pre-season, work a little bit harder than I had done. But then I've looked at it, and with the injuries I've had over the last couple of years, I think I'm trying to maybe just tail back the training a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember Paul Jones saying to me when I was in the Arms, set up with him, he's saying sometimes more isn't always better. So sometimes when you're at training, don't always try and win the races and be at the front. You know, if you tail it back a little bit, it might be better for you. And I think I've looked at it this year and thought to myself, well, might ring true, and it has done, to be honest. You know, you can't always push yourself.
No.
And it does take, I've said this to my dad on numerous occasions, it takes a lot longer now to recover from a really hard session than it obviously used to.
Yeah.
So coming Thursday when we've worked really hard, it's still in your legs on a Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
So you kind of have to think about it in different ways. Sometimes you think, I'm not as fit, but it's a case of trying to find the right balance, and this year I have found the balance, and so I've been really pleased with the way it's gone out for me.
That's wisdom, Bassey, that comes to all of us with age.
It's all experience, isn't it?
Well, as we're talking about sessions here in the background, it's one of the Ellen Bannon sessions before you go to North Cyprus. Touch on that. You must be looking forward to that now. You've just a late inclusion in the squad.
I am a late inclusion into the squad, but I am really looking forward to going. Yep. I've looked at the way that they've put the squad together and the professionalism of it all, with, you know, they're looking at everything. They're not, there's no stone unturned here with the way that they're doing things, with Ben Carlin coming on board. You've obviously got the top physio and Kiri, and we've got the top management team, Paul and Lee and my dad, and So they put together a really strong squad. They've got Connor coming from Dubai, Liam coming from America, Seamus is going to look to play again as well. And then when you look out there, the quality of the lads we've got, and it's nice to see new faces.
Yeah,
no, always nice to see that, new faces in an Ireland setup. And I'll be honest, I've heard from training, which I haven't been at previously, is nothing but good things.
Yeah.
And they've all impressed a lot, especially the lads from the Corinthians.
And it's going to be a busy 4 weeks for you, because then you're off to the Scandinavian outpost of Gotland. Big Dave will be with you as well. I'm quoting on all the sports, but obviously with the Ireland Games. But that's going to be another tough challenge as well, because it's going to be probably similar temperatures to Northern Cyprus, isn't it?
I think so. But I don't know how much hotter it can be compared to Jersey two years ago when we played in that the last group game against Jersey especially. That was one of the hottest conditions I've ever played in. But you go there, you look forward to that as well. I promise my wife I'd never do two football tournaments in the month again, but when the opportunity comes, you can't pass it up. And like we say, as you get a bit older, you're not going to be playing forever, are you? So you've got to take the opportunity when it comes. Yeah. So, but to look forward to Cyprus and then to come back, and I think it'll help us going to Gotland. I think there's quite a good number of players going to both tournaments, and it helps. There's the standard of football you're going to be playing in lifts your game just that little bit more for Gotland, and I think it will help. Obviously, sometimes the management will look at it and say it's too much, especially for the older players, but there is also a positive side to it.
Well, I think as well, the mix of both squads is, I think there's only about 12, 10, 11 that are in both squads, so there is fresh players, fresh faces going to be involved with both, and then, as you touched on before, they'll help both, all the elements of the squad, won't they, because they've got their enthusiasm with it.
Without a doubt, and like I say, we're watching this now and you see the new lads come in and the enthusiasm that they're bringing, it's new for them, and they've been drilled in, it's been drilled into them about what sort of standard they're going to be going into and how professional they need to be in their attitude. And I think they've looked at it and they've took it on board. And their enthusiasm is similar to what we've had this year with the young lads coming through at St George's.
Yeah.
And the ones that are experienced in the tournaments need to raise their game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the new lads are going to come in and take the place, which is good. It's what you want. You want the competition for places.
And just a word on your dad. You know, it doesn't look like slowing down anytime soon, does he?
That's something he's promised my mum he'd stop as well. He said, I'll get to six and then I'll maybe equal Peel's record of league titles if we can, and then I'll quit. And then Cyprus comes along and he said, I won't be doing Ellen Vannin anymore after Sweden or Hungary.
Yeah.
And then, once it gets offered, you just can't turn it down, can you? And he's a football person. He loves his football. And if the success continues, and I think it's something to do with, like we say, the new lads coming in again, their enthusiasm drives him on.
Yeah, yeah.
So he looks at it and goes, oh, I've got a nucleus here for another 5 years in this as well. So if they can produce the goods and we can produce the goods in Cyprus, and St George's can do something similar again next year, then I don't see him slowing down at all. I don't see him ever stopping, to be honest. But if we stop winning, then he might stop, so maybe we'll stop winning.
As you said before, you've always been written off, and St George's, sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to do it this season, and you always do. So I think your dad could be in a job for a while yet, mate.
I think so. It's difficult. It's difficult when the lads, the nucleus of St George's does get older. It is difficult to continue. It's difficult to keep the tempo in training and things like that. Like we say, we've touched on it, people keep getting injured.
Mm.
So it is difficult. But I think he's understanding now, and obviously with the help of Lee and Paul, understanding and talking to the senior players about how they feel during the week, he needs to understand you can't keep flogging everybody. Yeah. Obviously, the younger lads can work, if they can see our work ethic and what we've produced over the years, if they can take that on board, then he can push them.
Yeah.
But with us, he's got to try and find the balance as well.
Good,
as well as the players, he's got to try and learn one or two new things, and I think he is doing, although he's still old school and wants to push you as hard as he can. He likes seeing you being sick in training, which is an old school thing, isn't it?
Well, talking about sick in training, you're probably going to come over and lambast me a minute for keeping you away for too long, so I'll let you crack on.
Lovely
to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, and you. Cheers. Thanks very much.
I suppose it's fair to say Chris has not done bad for a man I once flattened as a, how should I put this, heavily built year seven in the playground at Park Road.
Did you have a beard back then as well?
I think it was starting to come through. I think the official, when it really broke through, was about 14, to be honest.
Fair enough. So how did you flatten him?
Well, I don't know. I'd been roped in to play a school boy game of football, and Chris obviously had fleet foot. Better technique, all round, athleticism, and I just happened to be, I think I'm stuck at the back because I was big, and accidentally bundled him over. I remember there was the people said I'd ruined his career. And I'd like to see those people now that I've, you know, he's a four-time winner of the Football Writers Player of the Year, so exactly. I didn't ruin his career.
I think, if anything, you probably, you were the catalyst.
Well, I was his first of many hard knocks. I'm sure there's been many defenders that have tried to take him out over the years.
Go on.
I was going to say, well, I mentioned this to Chris Jovanite, didn't remember it at all.
No, not the highlight for him.
Obviously meant more to me than him.
Did. Well, speaking of flattening someone, he actually flattened me, believe it or not. Given my size... years ago, I went to see Laxey v Geordies up at Glen Road.
Right.
And Geordies won 3-0. But I was stood in between the dugouts on the roadside for the pitch. And I was just, you know, writing on my pad. I was looking busy, pretending to work.
Yeah.
And then
standard.
Him and Fraser Vaughan, I think it was, chased a ball, yeah, which was coming out of play. Fraser managed to avoid me, yeah, but Bassey didn't.
Kudos.
He sort of dived in, head first, into my shin.
Ooh.
I went flying up and over. Yeah. He was fine, got back up, cracked on. A few days later, I actually ran into him in town. And
it ran into him again?
Well, not literally. Oh, he had a big black mark on his face. Right. So
flipping heck, eh? And that ended your career, really, didn't it? You know,
I never got over it. You know,
the offers of trials dried up after that.
The closest I came to success.
That's it. Well, I suppose we should mention the other winners on the night. Football Writers Referee of the Year, the most excellent Stewie Neen. He, of
back
course...
Back to back.
Yes, back to back. Our first ever podcast guest, the History Maker.
He'll always go down in infamy for that.
And I suppose in a cruel twist of irony, I did interview Stewie after he picked up his wand, but I think I put my thumb over the microphone bit on my phone, so we can't actually hear what Stewie has to say.
I think it was just in homage to the Laxey podcast.
We've had a bit of a mare. It's been a long season. Mistakes are creeping in now, aren't they?
You can tell it's dragged on a little.
It's been a little bit too long. Thank God we're starting September next year, aren't we?
Yeah, a bit of an extended break.
So apologies to Stewie. You won't be able to hear from him today, but he was saying that he might be having a bit of a break from the dark arts next season because his wife's expecting a third child and he's just starting a new job, so he doesn't know how he's available. He's going to go on a Saturday. So we might be a bit of a rest for the man.
We'd have to get another referee in next year now.
Yes, well, obviously we've had Scott in this year as well.
Yeah, I think, how long can we hold off Johnny Hogg?
I'm surprised he isn't outside now.
Yeah.
Although we didn't get a tweet about his moment of the season. He must have missed it again.
I know, but I have to ask you on his behalf, who's been the best ref that you've seen this
season? Ooh, good question, Dave. Well, I have to agree. I thought Stewie's had a good game. Obviously, he wasn't about really at the start of the season because he was away. I think it's benefited his game. Who else has impressed me this season? To be honest, I haven't really seen anyone really have a stinker.
No, I haven't either, to be honest.
There's been a lot of, they've been quite consistent. I think that,
so you always after with refs, yeah?
There's been a couple of odd decisions, I'm not going to lie. We have to remember that these guys are amateurs, as the footballers are.
Giving up their Saturday afternoons or Sunday evenings, as it may be.
Yeah.
To do this.
Tony Tash, I was a bit very sad to hear of his retirement this season. Occasionally see him pumping iron down the gym at the NSC.
Can we give him a Max 40 Pod Lifetime Achievement Award?
Oh, if there was a man that deserved one. Do you remember the game he was refereeing, was it last season, 2 seasons ago? Broke his arm and continued refereeing for the
rest? He had a couple of years, a couple of times before that, when every time I'd see him ref, he'd pull up with a hamstring injury or something. I was a curse for that man.
Well, that's probably why he's at the gym, apparently. Peter Lewis,
he knows
another legend of Manx officialdom. He's cracking on in his 837th season.
Still my favourite Facebook photo of all time was the shot of us free with the interleague.
That was a memory the other day, I think, wasn't it?
It was, popped up.
Yeah, we might tweet that later on. That was a tremendous night. I don't think Peter knew who he was having his picture taken with and why he was getting a picture taken with the National League System Trophy.
But look, he's used to the fame.
He is used to the fame. It doesn't look a day over 40, does he?
No.
No, and still, I feel, could do a role as a Bond villain.
Oh, easily.
Easily. Of course, as well as picking up awards, back to the awards, we've
digressed a little there.
Chris Bass Senior, what can we say about him? He picked up Manager of the Year for a 7th successive season. He's the only man to ever hold that Football Writers Manager of the Year trophy.
Phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal record.
Grand Slam again, 3rd. We've talked about this before. No, we haven't really, because we've had the Grand Slam has obviously happened since our last podcast. You were there on Sunday, I think, when Chris alluded to in his interview. Wasn't their most best performance by any means.
No, and I think as you'll hear from Sean Quay a bit later on, Geordies were clearly nervous. the occasion got to them a little bit, I think. Kieran McNulty scored after like 13 minutes, which settled them slightly, but not as much as you would have thought. And it became quite a scrappy game. And Peel, to be fair, they played their part in that. They frustrated them, and they didn't really get much change out of the Peel defence. It wasn't until the 86th minute when Cal Morrissey, off the bench, scored a deflected header, which really sealed it. But yeah, I think it was a strange one, because I was there for the first slam when they scored two late goals in injury time to beat Peel in the Hawes Cup final. And that was such a dramatic way to win it. Was this time, it was a bit flat, but I think more than anything, it was relief.
Yeah.
Everyone was... their nerves were a bit frayed by the end, but you could see how much it meant to the players when they were celebrating, and what an incredible achievement for them.
Oh, amazing. We'll have to see what happens next season. As you'll have already heard, Chris is already talking about the youngsters. He's saying they could potentially be the core for the future Slam teams to come, or Geordie's teams to come. So this golden period doesn't look like coming to an end anytime soon, does it?
It doesn't at all. I mean, you'll hear in a sec, I spoke to Andy Perry and Jerry Morling, and they were full of praise for the kids in the squad. And I mean, in some sense, Morling is spearheading the next generation of Geordie's players. He's obviously, he seems to have been around for a long time already. But some of the talent in that squad, I mean, they could go far. Yeah. You know, and we know that Bassey and Dicko and Paul are going to work them hard. They've obviously got Andy Gosnell on board this year, and he's made a huge difference as well, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people have praised Gosnell's influence. As you say, it all looks very rosy in the Glen Crutchery Road Garden, and it's for the rest of them to try and catch up, isn't it?
As Sean said last week.
Right, well, I'll have a listen to what Andy and Joey said. You've already alluded to that. Joey, of course, picked up Young Player of the Year, Football Writers Young Player of the Year. Was it the third time?
Second time in a row. I think it's his third overall. He won it
not
once
bad, more. Considering it's for under 21.
Exactly, yeah. He's still got a chance to win it once more as well, and then he's already talking about getting the senior awards from Bassey. So,
and then probably one of the unsung heroes at St George's, rightly getting a bit of recognition. Golden Gloves, Alf Rigby's tremendous Golden Gloves trophy goes to... Goalkeeper of the Year, Andy Perry, and it would be interesting to hear what he said.
Yeah, and he alluded to the fact that people often say to him, it's very tough. People sometimes say to him, it must be easy being Geordie's goalkeeper, but for him, as he says, he could go 20 minutes of the game without having to do anything, so to be able to maintain that focus and concentration must be difficult.
Yeah.
And he has to be reliable, you know, and he is. He probably is the best goalkeeper on the island. Really down to earth, and he was pleasantly surprised to win the award.
We'll have a listen to what those two have to say now.
Congratulations, guys. Obviously, football's a team game, but to win individual awards, it must be quite nice, wasn't it? We'll start with you, Andy. That's your first time winning it.
First time, yeah. Pleasantly surprised. Obviously, a lot to do with the guys as well, not just me. Great back four in front of me. A great team, but it's nice, and especially in a team like ours, quite a lot of people say to me, anyone can play goals, but I actually think it's quite a difficult thing. You know, there's times in games where you'll go possibly 20 minutes where you're not doing a lot, well then all of a sudden you have to do something, and really you have to be there to do it. And it is sometimes played in teams obviously that struggled,
absolutely,
and I actually think it is sometimes harder to play with
you. You have to keep your attention all the time,
concentration wise
it could be anything that happens, like it could be 30 minutes into a game as you say. But yeah, so what is it like then? Obviously you moved from Ramsey, you've been at Laxey before, you're in this Geordie's team, you are undisputed number one, but what's it feel like for you now? I mean, you've got another Grand Slam under your belt here. It's a phenomenal achievement.
I mean, I obviously played for Ramsey for years, and obviously I love that hometown club. Moved to Laxey, just a bit of a change of scenery, and then obviously got the opportunity to come down here. And obviously, at the time, my career, it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down. And to be honest, they're a cracking set of lads. I knew them all previously. Worked with Paul O'Brien for 4 years. Dave Cherry's come on board as well. Training's fantastic, you know, we work really, really hard, and to be honest, I think personally my fitness, is even just general fitness, is come on leaps and bounds. But yeah, no, I really, really enjoy it up here. We have a good crack, we work hard, and to be honest, we're getting the results, which obviously is what you play for, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And a word on this young man next year, another under 20, well, a Young Player of the Year award for him.
Yeah, I can't believe he's still got another year left in it, to be honest. He likes being around forever. But no, he's great. You know, he gets a bit of a hard time off Bassey. You know, he demands very high standards, doesn't he? You know, and, you know, his game, he's come on leaps and bounds this year again, Joe. You know, when he gets that ball and he's running at people, there's nobody can touch him, really.
Yeah.
And to be honest, yeah, he fully deserves the award. You know, it's... It's not easy playing our team again. The standards are so high.
Another phenomenal year. And, you know, you made the step up from Union Mills. You went straight into the team and you haven't looked back since, really, have you?
No, I mean, leaving from Mills, it was sort of difficult to think, because I had been there since I was about 4 years old, playing with my cousins. Started out kicking the ball for, like, on a Saturday afternoon until we could join when we were about five. And then as soon as I could start joining the team, you work your way up. But to be fair, I had a season out, kind of cleared my head a little bit when I had my year out, and I wanted to improve and try and possibly go on to play at the next level across in the UK. And you've got to play for the best team, and you've got to play with the best players on the island if you want to improve. And there's no doubt about it that St George's is the best team on the island at the minute, and possibly for the next four, five, six, maybe even more years with the lads that we've got coming through and the team that we've got at the minute as well.
I suppose for you and for all the attacking players at Geordie's, it must be nice knowing you've got such a solid goalkeeper at the back. You know, so it kind of takes the pressure off almost for you. You can just show your attacking desires, whatever, you know. It's good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, when you've got the likes of Andy in goal and you've got the back four that you look at, George has been there for years, he knows what he's doing. You've got Sean and Johnny as well, and especially Sam Kane that plays right back. You look at a back four and think there's nobody that's going to get past them. Yeah. Occasional mistake and mishap, communication, you let people in, but as you say, Andy's always there to protect us if we need him.
Absolutely. And you mentioned before we came on air, but you could still win this trophy again another couple of times.
One more time next year, I could possibly win it.
There's a lot of been said about, you know, some of the elder players in the squad potentially stepping down in the next couple of years, but you're sort of spearheading the younger generation now. You've obviously been joined by a lot of players from Mills.
Yeah.
There's no reason why you guys can't go on continued success.
Not at all. I mean, some of the young lads that have been coming through are going to move on next season. Adam Long is absolutely a sensational player. He's absolutely unbelievable from training, and you can just see that when we played against Peel, I think it was down at Colby, he won man of the match, and he well deserved it by far. He was absolutely unbelievable. And then Sid Batty's the other one who's going away to college, I think next year as well. He's going to be in one another amazing player. Hopefully, if he ever does come back, we take him back on any single day. He is another good player that will really make it if he works hard.
Yeah.
Playing with the lads in the Cal Cup as well, I think this season showed that there is a lot of the lads that do want to work hard. They turn up for training, they work just as hard as us every single week, week in, week out, and there's no sign of them slowing down. So
I think Sean Quay alluded to that when I spoke to him after the final the other day. He said, you know, they haven't just turned up for a laugh. It's not just a social thing. They know they have to work hard to keep up with the rest of you, don't they?
I mean, they want to place in the squad as much as we do. We know if we slack off, they'll be fitted in straight away. Senior's not one to mess about with players and work rate. He expects the exact same from every single player that turns up for training every week. So if you're slacking off, senior's going to notice, and there'll be someone in that straight into your position the week after.
Good. And finally, just a quick word on the award. What does it mean to win that?
I mean, it is absolutely amazing. Like Andy said for his award, that you can't win it without the players that you're playing around. You look at the likes of Chris Junior, you've got him on one side, and he's a person that you look at if you want to be a successful winger, if you want to be a successful player in the Isle of Man and learn from the best. Chris is one of those players to look at. Even Sam Kane, who hasn't really played in midfield, but he is another one that just works hard, always on and off the ball.
It's
really, really nice to win. Like I say, I can win it again next year, but it is an amazing award to win, because it just shows that all the hard work you are.
And then you're going to aim to challenge Bassey's for senior awards.
Hopefully when I get a little bit older, we'll challenge for the player of the year for the senior award. But as far as I'm concerned, next year is another player of the year, young player of the year award that I need to get as well. So as many awards I can get as possible, the best the better. So
fantastic,
really looking forward to it.
And Andy, Grand Slam again next year?
Yes, to be honest, we only won it on Sunday, and we had a drink afterwards. The lads were already talking about trying to achieve a back-to-back, which has never been achieved either. So, I mean, straight away, the focus is already, that's what they want to do. And, you know, it does take a lot. You know, like, in my short time, the twice we've won it, just to get over that line it's mentally challenging as well. You could see on Sunday,
the pressure,
the second half, you could see we were somewhat stifled by, we were so concerned that we didn't want to concede and put pressure on ourselves. And we don't like to talk about it, we just you take each trophy as it comes. But once it comes actually to the final, the Hospital Cup final, the pressure's on, really, you know. And it's
more relief
than the
90th minute,
That's it, isn't it? So,
Well, fantastic. Congratulations, guys.
Right, welcome back. It's just me and Dave this week for the final end of season spectacular podcast, something or other.
Extraordinaire.
You might have seen, I hope you've seen, you've got this week's Manx Independent, our Isle of Man newspaper's team of the year is features on page 58. Something like that. Yeah.
We'll find it anyway.
Well, anyway, these surprise inclusions in there for me, Dave?
No, I think you can't really argue with it. I mean, I think Eric has got a good system in terms of the ratings panel, and we'll talk on that in a minute. Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the season, you know, if you impress over 24 games, you know, you're going to be included. And I think rightly there are a few Geordies players in there. There's some Peel, there's Russian, there's Corinthians. Corinthians had a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Old boys. And yeah, I think it's quite a nice balance, really.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to reveal the lineup completely because we want you to go out and spend your hard earned 90p and keep me and Dave in the lavish lifestyles that we've come accustomed to. But yeah, no, I think you're right. There's four Geordies players. But obviously, you, Chris Bass Jr., Joey Morling, Andy Perry, and of course Jack McVeigh, who's had a great season, has to be said, in defence and in midfield. He's shown how versatile he is there.
He was. Again, he was one of the best players on the pitch in the Hospital Cup final last week as well.
We'll just touch on the two Corinthians lads because Sean and Josh, we had them in a podcast earlier this
season. Again, real catalyst for them to be the team of the year.
Yeah, so they've made it into the team of the season. But there's some other good, well, maybe surprise inclusions. The two St John's boys, Andy Chadwick and Sam Ingham. But have you looked, their defensive records were fourth best in the league.
Joint fourth best, yeah. So
they've had a good season as well. And as I say, I'm not going to reveal them all because you won't go and buy a paper then. But yeah, I don't think there was anyone. People might wonder because Ash Webster didn't really make it into the squad. He obviously won the Golden Boot by chalk. But he's missed large chunks of the season.
Yeah, he was injured for quite a while, and he missed the last few weeks of the season as well. So that's the only reason why.
Yeah.
He was in it last year,
had
a great season this year, just that time missed on the sidelines, really.
So, of course, that will obviously, as Hattie alluded to on Twitter last night, will provoke a bit of comment and debate. And one of those, the strands of debate that's come out of this is, how come we don't do one for Division 2? Well, I'll try and keep it brief. We'd love to do it, wouldn't we?
We would. Yeah.
But simply, it's the manpower. For those of you who don't know, the team of the week, player of the month, and team of the year are all compiled by player ratings. So what that involves is someone is asked at the game, usually neutral, isn't it?
Yeah,
I would say 9 times out of 10 it's a neutral. And they are asked to provide their 6 best players. Their best players from the match with according marks to go with it. Eric then compiles all this data and gives it to us, and we talk it through and make the team of the week, and then obviously the team of the year. Now, I think I got this right. He'll probably correct me. Although I did ask him, does he listen to the podcast? He didn't know what a podcast was. So Eric, he's probably never going to hear this.
I don't even think he knows what the internet is. Yeah, so don't worry.
No, he's on email.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But he's got. There was 122 Premier League games last year, and all of them were covered. So that was a tough ask. I know at times Eric struggled to get people to games, especially at the end of the season when you get games cropping up at Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Absolutely.
So to then have to do that, replicate that effort with Division 2, getting neutral people, because that is the key, trying to get people that don't have a bias for want of a better phrase. And to a division, to every Division 2 game, I just think it's a
mammoth task, and it's not feasible with the manpower that we've got.
I mean,
at the end of the day, it's only us two that don't do football at the papers, isn't it? You know, and we're limited as to what we can do.
Yeah. But no, we welcome comments. So I think it was Fraser Campbell, I think it's at Fox Television, who kicked this off on Facebook last night on his Facebook. So happy to answer your query. We try and give Division 2 as much of a whack as we can. We've had some great coverage with the Gold Cup and the Woods Cup finals in recent weeks. Our podcast, we've tried to get everyone in, haven't we?
We have, yeah. We've covered quite a wide range of clubs this year. As you mentioned, like the titles in Divi 2 and stuff, we've had a lot of coverage for Bradon, Litley, Douglas Royal, Onken, Moran, Foxdale. You know, we spread the coverage around. We've had governors in here on the podcast. So we do spread it.
Michael,
around.
Michael Corlett. Yeah, we have tried our best. That has been made, though, I have to say, some clubs are better at getting information to interest than others, whether it be use of full-time or even the kind-hearted ones among you that tweet us at weekend. Foxdale, you've done tremendous this year. Jim's, you've all done, you know, tremendous. I've picked a couple of names out, but there has been a marked improvement this season with clubs tweeting us. So just remember, at Manx Footy Blog, takes 2 seconds. If you want to do it during matches, we'll happily retweet, won't we?
Absolutely, yeah.
We're not shy to retweet, so yeah, just get involved. Of course, if you've got any more comments over the summer, we'll be looking at how we shape our football coverage again next season.
Yeah, any feedback's always welcome, and any suggestions to make the podcast better.
Yeah.
Well, this has been our first year, so...
Yeah, well, I was fishing for a bit of feedback. There hasn't really been that much come in, so I presume you want us to continue next season, otherwise we'll be getting giving this mic its free transfer in the summer.
Should we give it to Hattie for a deadline date?
Oh, that's it, yeah. He'll go lovely with his Jim White yellow tie that he has, isn't he? Right, talking of social media, tweets and all that, we've had this week we're trying to get you to send in your moments of the season. There's been quite a few, I have to say. Matty Quirk, Douglas Athletic goalkeeper, Crown Green bowler extraordinaire.
Absolutely.
Possibly the tallest man in Springfield Road on a Saturday afternoon.
And his picture will be on the balls page of the Examiner on Tuesday.
And there's another 90p for getting people to spend there.
It's absolutely. Well worth it.
Matty's moment of the season was Conor Dowell coming back from South America to come on and score the winning goal against St Mary's in the FA Cup quarterfinals in the dying seconds. And I have to say, that is a pretty fairy tale affair, really, isn't it?
It was. I mean, until we saw his name pop up on Twitter, we didn't even know he was back on the island.
No.
So, yeah, what a way for him to come back.
Yeah, it's tremendous. They'll be making a film about that at some point, I would say.
Goal four.
Who have you got? We've got one from D&D, haven't you?
We have. They say the first team defender, Stephen Mulhern, on Britain's Got Talent.
Did you see this?
I can't say I have. I don't really watch
Britain. I have to say, I looked at it on YouTube. I meant to mention it in last week's podcast. So he went on, and the Britain's Got Talent has got another presenter, aside from Declan Hunt, called Stephen Mulhern. So it's the same name. It's amazing. So Stephen went on to the D&D. Stephen went on to do a trick. Wasn't particularly well received.
Was it magic?
It was magic, but I believe he replicated the magic, as it were, at the D&D's end of season do over the weekend.
Oh wow, well, that's impressive. I think Hattie might have mentioned it the other day, actually, as well. Yeah. He was there.
So, so I suppose that's the first... Yeah, we should have perhaps given that a bit more of a big up at the time, but well done to Stephen.
Well done to Steve, yeah. Brilliant.
Tony Sewell, Governor's Athletic manager, former podcast guest, he said his moment of the season was the club's first ever win, with a history-making winning goal from Zola.
Your favourite.
Yeah, Andrew Ronan, as he's otherwise known. They've had a good season, the Governors.
Yeah, it was a 4 or 5 wins they picked up in the end, I think.
It came like buses at the end, didn't they?
They were rewarded with a nice cup tie against Geordies, no less.
But, yeah,
another fantastic season of progress for them. Tony's done a great job. And I hope the club keep moving onwards and upwards.
Yep. Next one's Dean Turton, obviously old boys combi...
Assistant manager.
Director of football.
With Liam, I think.
Yeah, he said a goal of the season that wasn't caught on camera was Nigel Moody's away at Douglas Athletic combi. Greatest volley I've ever witnessed.
Big shout, that is.
That is a big shout.
Although I did see Moody reply to this, said that all 4 goals he scored in that game were pretty good.
Pretty special, yeah.
Yeah, he's not shy, is he?
It's like the greatest podcast that never was, because it wasn't recorded. People will never know how good it was, man.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
We dug deep for that one.
Ryan Gartland, I think this is a slightly cheeky tweet. He's just simply, I'm going to just read out what he's tweeted. Rushing away, combi, and then a couple of emoticons. And yes, I think we all know what that refers to.
A certain bit of drama.
A bit of drama at Croyte Larry that resulted in the game being abandoned.
I'm glad to know it was memorable for him.
Yes. Go on then, I'll leave you like you did the last one.
This is from a podcast favourite, to be fair. Joey Andrews thinks his question's up, but he's in the shower.
Mm.
Don't want to know. But anyway, he says, Braddon playing 3 games a week for 5 to 6 weeks. So obviously, don't forget, they went pretty much the entire winter without playing a game.
Yeah.
So you have 3 games a week for 5 to 6 weeks, including finals, and taking the Division 2 clean sweep whilst doing so, which is again an incredible achievement.
Well done to Braddon and the boys. You know, they had a bit of a wobble towards the end, but obviously losing Andy was always going to that injury. And get well soon, Andy, if you're listening.
Well,
I think it's tremendous. They've won the treble. Not many clubs have done that. So it'll be a tough season for the next year, but Will and Mick seem to have their heads agreed on as the management duo down there.
They certainly do, and obviously Higgs boosted by that winning goal the other week.
Yes, I'm sure that was his moment of the
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely. if they can keep that team together, I've heard a couple of mumblings either way about this, but I don't know whether it's some people trying to wind up saying that certain players were going to leave, but yeah, if they can keep that side together, then they've got every chance of staying up next year.
I suppose we should. Dave, what's your moment of the season?
Oh, that is a tough one. Now, we just mentioned Braddon there. It was good, obviously, seeing them win the Woods Cup and the Gold Cup, even though the latter was against my hometown club. I was there, obviously, when Geordie's won the Hossie Cup last week. We'll hear from Sean in a second about that. Yep. I'll have to say, though, start of the season, it was one of the very early podcasts. I didn't know what I was doing, but I managed to bag an interview with Mark Wright.
Oh, yeah, I remember this now, yeah.
Yeah, the Liverpool and England legend.
Yeah.
And former Chester City manager, no less, as well.
He started following us on Twitter now.
That's it, that's the endorsement we need.
Yeah.
And, we played a game of Max Football Nicknames, as it were. It's safe to say he didn't know that Colby were the Moonlighters or Braddon were the Laundrymen, but to hear his reaction was pretty priceless.
I have to say that, yeah, that was very funny. I think taking it forward, if we could do that with more professional footballers, that may be our aim for next season.
So we can get Kieran Tierney, there you go.
Well, that's Kieran, Kieran probably know.
I'm sure Maxie.
He follows Max Footy blog as well, he'll know what's going on. Right.
Well, we should mention he picked up the Scottish Football Writers Young Player of the Year again last week, didn't he?
He did, and that's second successive season. He's having a great year. He's in the squad for England Scotland on June 10th.
Oh, the old enemy.
The old enemy. That'll be a good game. I'm actually in Scotland that day, so I'll be cheering on Kieran, I think.
Yeah, totally. Me too.
See where he plays, right or left back. But he's had a great season. They've gone unbeaten. They can do the treble themselves on Saturday, can't they?
Yeah, the Aberdeen,
which is fantastic. They've become the first team since Rangers in 1889 or something, 1880s, 1890s, to go the whole season unbeaten.
But you've got a good fact about that.
Yeah, it was the fact that when Rangers did it, there was only 18 games in the season. And I apologise to Conor Dowell, who's listening. I know he's a big Rangers fan. But Celtic under Brendan Rodgers, as much as it pains me, is they've been a bit of a revelation, really. Well, absolutely. Not a revelation. They've actually just lived up to form.
But they've done it better than in style, really. Yeah. Well done, Kieran, and good luck for next year.
Yeah, if you're listening.
And if you want to join Liverpool, feel free.
Right, we'll have a listen to what Sean had to say to you after the Grand Slam on Sunday. Now, should we do?
Yeah, he was obviously delighted with the win.
Thanks, Sean. Congratulations. You did it. It was hard work, that game, wasn't it?
It was hard work, yeah. I think, on another day, we might have... I think, obviously, the pressure of the game, which we maybe didn't play as free-flowing football as we sort of usually do, really. And we were just looking for that second goal that didn't seem to come. We could have done with that in the first half just to settle the nerves, really. It's one of them things. It was such a high-pressure game for Geordies,
It was.
With what was riding on it. So I think that didn't really help the situation. Thankfully, we kept it tight and clean sheet. Always going to score goals. So
absolutely, and when you call on someone like Cal to come off the bench and he gets a goal, it always helps, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Callum was unlucky not to start. Really, I think he just got a little knock in training the other night there, and Bassey was sort of just dead on the side of caution with not starting him. But to have him on the bench is like, what a player. He's probably one of the best strikers Alemán's ever seen. So for him to come off on, just after half time and just mix it up a bit. Fiero did well. He battled hard, but tired them out really. And then Callum come on, so I wouldn't fancy being centre back. And Callum's coming on,
But you've been here for all three Grand Slams, obviously. Where does this rank? Is this at the top, or because it seemed a little bit of an anticlimax at the very end? I think everyone was just relieved more than anything.
I think so. Obviously, the first one means everything. When we did it all them years ago, because we tried for so long and always fallen short at the final hurdle. Really, we got so many finals and thought it's never going to happen. And now, I think the belief in our squad is, it's all not what we expect to do. It's far from it. It's dedication and hard work. And maybe it was a little bit of an anticlimax once we won, but I think once you come to terms with it, in a couple of days, and the lads have gone to work and think, what we've done, we've created history in Manx football. People might talk about Manx football, man, it's only Manx football, but that's the best we can do. We live on this island, we work here, we work hard, all the lads do, and to do that, we're in the history books.
It's a phenomenal achievement. Yeah. I'm sure when Peel did it twice, and many people thought that no one would surpass that, you've done it. And the way Frank and Dicko were talking on the podcast the other day, Bassey Senior's already targeting the next one. Do you think that's possible? Do you think you'll go on next year?
I don't know. Anything's possible, It's just,
the lads, obviously, they're another year older, but I think, you know, the commitment and the dedication from the likes of Basti, Dicko, Paul O'Brien, Goz, as long as that's there and that's instilled within the squad, which it is and it always has been, you know, we've got every chance. It's up to the other teams to catch us, really. You know, it has been like that for the last 10 years. So I don't think we're going to waver or anything. You know, we'll be pre-season training soon enough. We're off to Cyprus, some of the lads off to the Ireland Games and Scotland. So, you know, good luck to them. And it's a long season, but hopefully, come the start of next season, we'll be ready to go again and see where it takes us, really.
Absolutely, and I mean, it's a phenomenal achievement. Quick word on Adam Long. Obviously, came on for the last few minutes in that game, but he now goes off to Wigan.
Oh, yeah.
What's it been like for you to work alongside
him? Yeah, to see him, you know, it's good to watch him coming through the ranks. You know, he trains hard, he's got a terrific attitude, he's got, you know, a good head on young shoulders, you know. So, you know, I wish him all the best. And to see him come on in games like this, you know, he's played in Railway Cup finals. Obviously, he didn't get much at the time in the pitch today, but you know, even when he come on, you've got confidence in him. It's not, you're not worried about what he's going to do. You know, he makes good decisions, and he's physically, you know, capable and good in the air. So, you know, I wish him well when he gets to Wigan. Hopefully, you know, he trains hard and everything works out for him. So
absolutely, and you've got the next batch of youngsters already coming through. High hopes for them all.
Yeah, no, there's some fantastic players in amongst the squad that have come in. Obviously, they come from Union Mills and they've had, you know, terrific training and background there of the coaches up there, and they've come to us and maybe just put them on that step, the next level, really. And you know, they see how hard we work in training. You know, it's never, we don't turn up and have a laugh, far from it. You know, it's a little bit like a job, really, sometimes. You know, people think you go to training to have, you know, have a socialise, but you can hardly breathe most of the time when you're at our training sessions. So, you know, never mind talking to people. So yeah, you know, the future's looking bright for St George's. If them lads stick at it, you know, like we have, really. You know, there's a core of us, like five or six of us, that stuck together, and look where it's got us. So if they can manage that, they've certainly got the tools there. It's just the attitude, whether they can stick at it, and hopefully, you know, they can.
I think it's great how Bassi's doing it. He's integrated them into the squad slowly but surely. You know, we went for a scutcher of games like a couple months ago where every youngster seemed to be scoring on their debut. But yeah, they're slowly getting into the team, and it's given them a taste. I mean, you had a few youngsters come off the bench today.
Yeah.
Gives them that taste of the action.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and that's sort of what Bassi's always done. I remember when I was coming up through the ranks, you're playing the combi, and you get your turn in the first team, and it was a step up, really. Yeah. But you just got them gradual little goals in the first team, and that's sort of what he's doing with the young players now that have come through from St George's. You know, they get that little taste, and it is that little bit quicker in the first division, first team football. And you know, the lads there, that technically some of them lads are, you know, I've not seen players like them, really.
Yeah.
So it's just when they, you know, they develop, become a little bit more physical and have that correct attitude, I think, you know, the future is looking bright for St George's.
Fantastic, mate. Right, you'll definitely go down as one of the most most decorated players.
Thanks, Dave.
That's far, mate.
Right, welcome back. Me and Dave here for the last segment of the last podcast of the season.
You know, but before we move on, I have to ask, what's your moment of the season?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I suppose it's, yeah. Just the podcast. I've loved every minute of it, to be honest. Even the one, that we didn't actually, I cocked up. It was still a good podcast.
It was a great podcast.
I hope everyone's enjoyed it. We have been learning on our feet, as it were. The sound quality has varied widely, but we're hopefully getting towards that. It's gone from pirate radio to classic FM at times, so
anywhere in between.
As Dave said earlier, we're always looking for feedback. What can we do more? Is there anything you've liked in particular? You know, have you enjoyed finding out what footballers eat their Chinese and
stuff? That's the next question for you, Andy. What's your favourite Chinese?
Well, this isn't right. At the moment, I live near the terrace, and I'm enjoying that the little panda's had a bit of a resurgence in the new ownership. But I have to say, the one out by on the business park near the it's near the horse and
plough. Next door to the horse and plough, I know.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
Anyone's
mentioned that one yet?
No, it's a little bit of a hidden gem, that
there
one.
There you go.
But I have to say, the ones that, you know, I think Williston and Paul Rose have featured
Jay Harbour.
Imperial Dragons. Yeah. And Chinatown, of course. I think you go in there if you want to sit down. You don't go there for a takeaway. Yeah. If you're pretty posh, you go in there for a takeaway.
It's either before or after you go for a pint at the Queen's, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think with a little bit of effort and a bit of good luck, we might get a Chinese takeaway to sponsor us next year.
Oh, yes, please. Well, first.
Although that might take away our impartiality, won't it?
Well, this is it. But I just want some pro crackers, so...
I've got some at home actually. I had a Chinese last night.
Are they still fresh?
I should have brought them in. That would have been the perfect way to end the season, wouldn't it?
Oh man, we missed a trick here.
Oh, but the hindsight's a wonderful thing,
it
isn't
it? It is, isn't it?
Right, before we go, Dave, it's all right. We will be back. Stop crying. Good luck to Mifa's Ellen Bannon side. We saw them, they were getting put through their paces on Tuesday. It looked a pretty intense session for the end of the season, didn't it?
Certainly did, yeah, but they're all boys looking in good shape.
Yep, they're off to stop the what should I describe this? The salubrious surroundings of Stockport this weekend for the friendly against Stockport Town before they head to Northern Cyprus, and the definitely more salubrious surroundings of their hotel and the Khenifa Euros on June 4th. That's the start of race week. Unfortunately, neither of us could go because
that's
of the time.
In the way,
yeah. So we'll be wishing the best of luck in that.
Absolutely.
And then at the end of the June. You will be there for this one, though, won't you, Dave?
We will. Off to the Allen Games in Gotland, Sweden, which I'm really looking forward to. It's a shame that you can't make it, because I went last time, didn't I? But
yeah, you did such a good job. I don't want to spoil the rhythm. You know.
It's only because I won that cycling medal.
That's it, yeah. You got a medal there. A medal to defend in some ways.
For Leon Mazzoni, I believe.
Yeah,
it
was. Was that the crit? Was it men's crit?
Yes, yeah. Well, there's controversy. I'll never forget getting pulled into the commissaire's office thinking I was in trouble.
So yeah, watch this space, see if Dave can help the Isle of Man win some more medals.
And avoid the internationals.
Yeah, so obviously Nick Mert and the management team and the boys will be heading to Gotland. And of course, Quilly and his women's side will be out there medal hunting as well. So hopefully...
Yeah, gold. I hope they all bring it back.
Yeah, Hattie's going as well, isn't he?
The man, the myth. Yeah, big shout out to Hattie. As always, he's had a great season. Does so much for us.
Oh, he does loads. Yeah, he has a thankless task in many ways, but it's time for us to thank him. He has done a cracking job. He every year he adds a new element of media to his bow, doesn't he?
He does, and now he's assistant media director at Ultra Young Ladies.
I know, well. Yeah. He's just that came with a jacket, I think, that role.
It's the only reason he took it, isn't it?
So shout out to Hadster. I know he faithfully listens most weeks. Yes, enjoy your rest and behave yourself in Gotland. I know what you like.
Once he's had a pint of Guinness, that boy does not behave.
Or
it's gin tonic.
I suppose. Thank you. You've been a tremendous input into this podcast. You've gone along with my whimsy.
I have to say, it's been brilliant. I mean, anyone who knows me knows I'm not one for public speaking, but this has been a lot of fun to do. But it's all credit to you because you've masterminded this and you host it. And you come up with all the work, so thank you to you.
Well, cheers, Dave. I'm sure you've all turned off at this nauseating last minute, last few sentences of the podcast. Thanks to you that haven't turned off and do listen regularly. I think we're up to 3 or 4 listens a week now.
Yeah, my parents joined in, I think.
Listen to it in the camper?
That's it, when they're travelling around Europe.
Oh, fantastic.
But and big shout out to the likes of Connor Doyle in Dubai listening in.
Yeah, our international listenership has heavily been boosted by Manx footballers on their travels. I think Sean Kelly. Well, we presume it's Sean Kelly, but we do get listens in Japan, so.
Could be anyone.
We've had a couple in Senegal last week.
Sadio Mane, that's who it is. Yeah.
Who's he?
Liverpool player.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sadio Mane. It might be Titi Kamara. You've said
Senegalese. Oh, legend.
Yeah,
is he president yet?
I don't know. Who knows? We're rambling again, Dave.
We always do.
As most weeks are. Thanks. Until next season.
Ta-ta for now.